All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a special edition of Real Money with David Holland and Fred Costello today. Fred, you can. I'm as excited as you are about this.
Oh, I'm flipped out excited, but in the last 5 minutes, I think I learned more about the market than I learned in the last couple of years.
You only need 5 minutes of Scott Connor and you're good to go.
Oh, that was awesome.
Isn't that good? All right, so here's the big question, okay? Why? Why are you running?
Thank you for the opportunity to answer. That's the question that everybody asks me. I love my dental practice. I'm blessed. I have a fabulous team, wonderful patients. I thoroughly enjoy it. I've lived in Ormond Beach since 1977. Like many of you out there, I've been in Kiwanis. I ended up being president. I coached Little League. I've done things in my church, been president of my church group. Then you're president of your dental association. Then you're on the planning board. You build a building, have some frustrations with it, and they coerce you into being on the planning board. You become chairman. And then the guy that you supported for commissioner has a heart attack or had a quadruple bypass. And so you end up running for commissioner. And then the mayor resigns to run for another office. And you have the opportunity to be mayor or be on the commission under somebody that you don't want to serve with him as your mayor. So you run for mayor. And then the issues that bother the city are issues that must be addressed at the state level. So even though there were no term limits in Ormond Beach, I ran for the State House of Representatives to address pension reform and to address tax reform and to address the growth management issues. We got rid of the Department of Community Affairs that was the growth Gestapo that was stopping people from being able to expand their businesses and create jobs. And at the House, the Florida House of Representatives, more and more the issues that we were facing were issues that need to be addressed in Washington. Let's face it, Washington acts like you were talking about the CEO earlier, that they were going out and building whatever you said they were doing with other people's money. It was ludicrous. It made me think of the GSA. But at any rate, so the reason I want to go to Washington is for our children and our grandchildren. I'm 62. I'm set. The future of our country in the next few years is not going to change my life. But I have three children, four grandchildren, and like the listeners, I want to make sure that we leave it a better place than we have it right now. So I'm going to Congress as one that is ready to shake it up. It was one that's ready to make a difference. And if the people don't like what I've done, because we're going to cut everything, we're going to cut it down to the place where we can afford our government. We're going to cut it down to the place where in the coming inflation, because our money is worthless, we're going to short circuit that. But it's going to be tough.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, that is a summary of how you go from being a dentist to being inspired and have the passion to run for Congress. And I want you to know I wrote all that down. That was very good, Fred. I was teasing Fred before we started the show. I said, Fred, I got to be honest, I'm a little jealous because I'm excited about your opportunity that you have to do this and the responsibility that comes with it. I know you take very seriously. So we know the why. We know the how you got there. So the big question is, you say you want to cut. And of course, you're not talking about getting out a big axe and hitting everything in sight. This is responsible measuring and getting government down to what we can afford instead of what we all want. Everybody's got wants, right?
Right. And some people will say it's an axe. I prefer to think it's a scalpel. But whatever it is, let me back up just a little there. The reality is our country is becoming a country of entitlements instead of a country focused on exceptional opportunities. I will fight. I was a captain in the Air Force. I will fight if necessary to make sure that every person, every citizen of our country, I don't care what race, I don't care what sex, I don't care what ethnic background, I don't care what socioeconomic background, I want equal opportunity for everybody. Anybody that's willing to do the work, I want them to have the opportunity to have the wildest success they could ever imagine if they're willing to do the work. So that's the reason I want to go to Congress, is to help change our country away from the entitlements. We've got to have government get out of some of the things that government's paying for. We don't need a Department of Education at the federal level. We don't need a Department of Energy. We don't need a Department of Commerce. We don't need a Department of the Interior. We don't need Housing or Urban Development. We don't need Environmental Protection Agency. The states can do that. Let the states have the states' rights that are guaranteed in our Constitution. We must turn these things over to the states and let the states do some of these things. We've got to cut things that our listeners out here value. We've got to cut things you value and I value, or we're not going to have a country 50 years from now.
Well, what do you say to those that say, well, but Fred, that, you know, if we cut, then we won't have the services we need?
Well, it's a question of need or want.
Ah.
And what we're doing is we're basing our expenses on wants, and we don't have those kind of revenues. So we've got to get back to the needs, true needs.
You don't have to recreate the wheel here. You just want to back things up. I mean, it's not like in the past that we were doing things badly and you have to come up with this grand new scheme. It's really about getting things back to where they should be. And, you know, one of the chapters in my book I wrote about retirement planning, I address some of the implications of having this very large government, is that we have unlimited wants but finite resources.
Amen.
And speaking of finite resources, we need to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with Fred Costello running for District 6 House Representatives, U.S. Congress. Stay tuned.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2. Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
We are back with special guest in the studio for the program today, Fred Costello, running for Congress, House Representative, District 6. That's a mouthful.
Yes, it is.
But it's a wonderful thing, Fred. Okay, so here's the question. I already asked you this, and I want to talk about it. When you are successful in being elected, how long do you plan on doing it?
Well, I'm a guy that believes in term limits, not at local government. I think the people know your local officials. I think there should not be any term limits locally. The term limits are the ballot box. But most citizens don't know their state representatives or their federal representatives. So I'm between 8 and 12, whatever the people vote on. In the Florida House of Representatives, I co-sponsored a bill to send to Congress asking them to put an amendment on the ballot or however they want to do it for term limits for state and federal elected officials. So somewhere between 8 and 12. Maximum of 12.
Okay. So you like the citizen representative concept?
Absolutely. Okay. I continue to be a dentist. I love being a dentist. I will continue to practice very part-time once I go to Congress. It won't be full-time like I've done as mayor in the House. But that's who we want in Washington, is people that go home and are with the people.
Don't become fixtures in Washington.
Absolutely. I don't want to become part of Washington. I live in Ormond Beach. I live in paradise.
This is a beautiful place. I should have mentioned at the top of the show, the disclaimer, Fred is my dentist. So,
and it's my honor.
I trust him. He's had his hands in my mouth, so I trust him. Okay, so here's one that it rubs me the wrong way, and I've already confessed on the show that I'm a fiscal conservative, okay? And what rubs me the wrong way is when we have people, politicians, elected officials come out and say, we're going to use the tax code to create fairness, not for raising revenue. Right. You know, like this nonsense with the Buffett rule. I think it's utter nonsense. The average tax rate for people making $1 million a year is already 29%. So they want to use it to exact fairness. And, you know, in our society, when you have a capitalistic society, you're going to have people who are going to be at the very top and at the very bottom. So is it the role of government through the tax code to say, oh, you made $50 million. That's not fair. We're going to take it all away from you.
Absolutely not. What a ludicrous thought that people have come to expect government to decide who the winners and losers are going to be.
That's a dictatorship.
Well,
or exactly. Close to it.
And let's look at what you were just talking about. You know, America, we have the highest corporate tax in the world now that Japan lowered theirs. And if we were to put the Buffett rule in effect, we'd have the fourth highest capital gains rate in the world. If we want our businesses to expand, and I believe we do because that's the only way we'll get jobs.
We will get out of the mess we're in if we grow our way out.
Exactly. So we better not do anything that'll retard the growth of our businesses. You mentioned a couple things that I wanted to just talk about real quick. You mentioned something about Europe earlier. In Greece, $47,000 per capita is the debt in Greece. And in the U.S., it's $47,000 per capita. The difference is we have a higher gross domestic product, but the listeners need to understand we have the same per capita debt that Greece does, and the only reason you read about Greece and you don't read about the U.S. is we have a larger economy, but we're on that same slippery slope if we don't change.
You're darn right we are, and you know, I have talked about it on the show before, and I know you agree with me. The work you've done in the House for the state is a lot of the work is balancing the budget, because why?
We have a balanced budget amendment. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Yeah. $70 billion budget, and you've got to balance the budget, right?
Right. I support the cut, cap, and balance, which includes the balanced budget amendment, but I want to go beyond that. I want to make it so that we elected officials that go to Washington, if we don't vote on a budget up or down every year we must vote on a budget. If we don't vote on a budget, we don't get a salary, period. If we vote on a budget that is 50% higher than what our revenues are, we should cut our salary by 50%. If we vote on a budget that's 10% higher than our salary, we should cut our salary by 10%. We're going to put some skin, if I have anything to do with it, we're going to put some skin in the game where the representatives that are representing the people, it's the people's money. It's not my money. How can I spend more of your money than I take in?
How do we get the elected officials, the House representatives, the members in Senate, and I'm sure many of them do, but what strikes me is they just don't see it as a stewardship responsibility, as a fiduciary responsibility.
Exactly. That's the word.
The hard-earned dollar of the American worker. You know, we talk about our economy being, it's 70% consumers and the rest is government. Well, the whole thing is funded by people and American workers. So treat my dollar as if it is sacred.
Amen. David, you use the word fiduciary and stewardship, and I love those words, but I want to say there's a word that's even stronger to me, and that's we are stealing the potential of future generations by being a poor steward and a lack of fiduciary responsibility. We are stealing the potential of future generations. Let me talk about Social
Security. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break,
yep,
Fred. When we come back, I want to continue, and I tell you what, I'm going to shock our listeners. When we come back, I want to talk about some statistics compared in Florida to the rest of the
Amen.
World and helping people understand the value or what has helped Florida be what it is by virtue of that balanced budget amendment.
Amen.
Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
We're back. Fred and I are talking about the Florida versus... Let me just do this real quick, Fred. Okay, here's the benefit of the balanced budget amendment and why we need to try to have something like it, or at least the responsibilities that come with it at the U.S. Congress and in Washington. Florida, our GDP is $777 billion. That's a lot. And if you took us out and compared us like we were a country, then we'd rank around number 20 in the world, okay? We would be bigger than Poland, Argentina, Netherlands, Saudi Arabia, Thailand, South Africa, Egypt, bigger than all of those individual countries. Now, here's what's really amazing. We've got 19 million people, and we've got a $23 billion public debt, roughly. Now, if I compare it, Florida, to, say, the next closest, Netherlands is real close. Netherlands has 705 billion, 16.6 million people, but their debt, instead of being 23 billion, is 521 billion. What is that, 25 times the debt? And I can compare it to California. Okay, oh my gosh, they're 2 trillion, they've got 37 million people, and they got $361 billion in debt. They're about 3 times the size on the GDP, but they have more than 10 times the debt. Why? No balanced budget amendment.
Exactly. And to put it in a frame of reference, last year when we cut $4 billion and this year when we cut $2 billion in the state of Florida, we cut 100% of our annual budget deficit, whereas the feds are arguing trying to get to 3% of their annual budget deficit.
And you know what? I know the answer to this question. I'm asking anyway. Was it fun to cut it?
Absolutely not. I had people picketing outside my dental office. I didn't mind them picketing outside my office in DeLand, you know, my House of Representatives office. But when they're picketing outside your dental office, it's not fun.
Well, you know, it's always they always make it personal when they
right.
Don't, no.
And as I have told everybody, I think I said it on the show earlier, we're going to cut things that each listener out there values. But the reality is we're going to cut enough things to give the future generations an opportunity to have that exceptional opportunity by being a U.S. citizen that we had growing up.
Our budget, our revenue, U.S. revenue from our tax system, about $2 trillion. Okay. That's a lot of money.
Right. And we spend $3.5 trillion.
Okay. So we've got to live within our means, period. Yeah.
Let me give an example. I started to talk about that earlier. Social Security. You know, when Social Security started, the average life expectancy was 62, and you got full Social Security benefits at 65. Note that. Life expectancy 62, you get the benefits at 65. Now, life expectancy somewhere 77, 78, depends on who you talk to, and full benefits are going to be up to 67 over the next few years. They're going up. So let's just say we're already there. So let's say full benefits at 67 when you have a life expectancy of 77. So what I plan to do is if you're 50 or older, you get everything, no change for Social Security.
That's fair.
But if you're 45 to 50, you get benefits at 68. If you're 40 to 45, you get them at 69. If you're 35 to 40, you get them at 70. If you're 30 to 35, you get them at 71. If you're under 30, you get them when you're 72. We've got to make it so people aren't, we as a country with two or three workers per Social Security recipient instead of 15 like we used to have, we've got to make it so it's sustainable. If we want the benefits to be there, we must reform it.
There's been no adjustment for longevity.
And so I'm going to go to Washington with the idea we're going to have some significant reforms on the table. And a lot of people aren't going to like that, but I think that's fair. If you're under 30, you're going to know you're going to have to work till you're 72. But if you're by then going to live to 80 or 85, that's not unrealistic.
Well, the simple reality is either we make changes or we're grease.
Amen. Thank you.
And, you know, if you look at the tax code, and you have people say, well, we're going to get rid of those tax cuts, or we're going to do this, or we're going to put this Buffett rule in because we got to make this thing fair.
Let me address that.
The numbers are crazy in terms of the progressive nature of the tax code already.
You said the magic thing. The top 5% pay more than the other 95%.
But
unbelievable.
But for some people, Fred,
that's not enough.
It's not progressive enough.
That's what I say. The top 5% pay more income tax than the other 95%. And I'm not advocating we cut it for them. I'm just simply saying there isn't enough to try and get them to pay more and still have them expand the businesses and create jobs.
I've got a funny thing for you, Fred. All this nonsense about the Buffett rule. And I don't, you know, I think it's all crazy. If they actually passed it, we're talking about $5 billion a year in revenue. It's nothing compared to
1%.
They could spend it in about 30 minutes.
Yes, 1%.
Okay? All right. If they're really serious, let's pass the Warren fuss budget, okay, rule, and let's tax. You want to tax somebody, you want to be fair, tax the billionaires. Good grief. I mean, it's there's just not enough revenue. Even if they put a 50% tax on every billionaire, it'd only be $50 billion. I mean, there's just not enough. We will never have the ability to tax our people enough to pay for all things that people want and for the spending. So we've got to get the spending under control.
Right. And the only way we do that is to help people understand that we are a country of exceptional opportunity, not entitlements. It goes back to that vision. Everything in my mind goes back to the vision that we must help people understand. We will fight to protect your right to be anything and everything you want to be, no matter who you are or what your background is, but we are not going to be the government safety net. That's up to families, that's up to churches, that's up to neighborhoods. We've got to have people helping people, but it can't be the government.
You know, my kids, you know I have three kids. And,
beautiful
and they're,
kids.
They're young, but they all three know the difference between taxes and charity.
Amen.
They know that charity is a choice. And, you know, we hear a lot of the politicians talking about, well, we need to, you know, get this money and do these things with it. But they seem to forget that the American people are very generous and give away a lot of money to help people on that local basis, either church-based or community charitable organizations that help people. And so we can't fix everything
and
with the government dictating it.
And yet some people were complaining about one of the presidential candidates, how much he gave tens of millions away, and they're complaining.
Well, we all know
about amazing?
Presidential elections, Fred.
Isn't
we know it's all about saying the other guy's the bad and hate him and like me. You know, it's.
I love that he gives away tens of millions.
Well, you know, the bottom line is that we need good people in Washington, and I really hope that this the people listen to your message, because you're respected on both sides of the aisle. It's not just the Republicans that say Fred's a stand-up guy, but I've talked to people that I know are registered Democrats and say, you know, I like Fred. I may not always agree with Fred,
right?
But I like Fred.
Thank you. I'm honest, and I'm in it for the right reasons, and I just want to leave something for our kids and grandkids.
Well, and you know what? Doing the right thing First of all, it's always the right time to do the right thing, and it's Amen. Never too late to do the right thing.
Amen.
But sometimes doing the right thing means that you have to make changes, and change, well, we all know, people don't always like change.
Amen. Godspeed, everybody.
Okay. Thank you for being on the show, Fred.
My pleasure.
All righty.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.